of Philippians. We have not gone there. We've spent a lot of time in Corinthians and Ephesians and in the book of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16 about the Spirit. Now we want to go into what Paul says about the Spirit to these precious people that he loved so much. He loved these Philippian people, and he said, I want your joy to be like my joy. I know the joy of fellowshipping with the Spirit, and because of that, I want the joy that I have in Christ to be in you to its fullest, the fullness of joy. And he said that happens when we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, when you find that in your copy of God's Word, please stand, and we'll give you the opportunity to read this together if you'd like to, or follow along silently in your copy of God's Word. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. Ready? If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, this text was very wonderful for me to study, but can I say that I had two different not conclusions, because I usually when I'm preparing for a message, I don't draw the conclusion until later on in the week. But when I first started, I said, okay, Lord, so you're telling us about Jesus. You're telling us the consolation of Christ. Tell us about the Spirit, fellowship of the Spirit. And now you're telling us about how to fellowship with each other and get along with each other. What correlation is there that? Well, there's a lot of correlation. Believe it or not, how that you view yourself before God vertically will actually help you or hurt you and how you deal with everybody else around you horizontally. So if I want to be right with God, I can't mistreat people. Or if I want to be right with people, I can't mistreat God. So there is something I need help with. And this is what I want to introduce to you today. We're never right with God if we attempt to worship him without the Spirit. That's how we worship him, in spirit and in truth. Okay, so if I leave out the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to connect. My spirit is not going to connect with God. I need the Holy Spirit. Okay, now, I am not going to connect with other Christians who have the Holy Spirit unless I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. So I would say, and hopefully you would agree with me, that the key to being right with God, the key to being right with my other fellow Christians, brothers and sisters, is the Holy Spirit. And we need to fellowship with him. We need to receive that fellowship and enjoy that fellowship and spend time with that fellowship and allow that fellowship to help us as a good fellow in our relationship with God and each other. So the message today is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our Father, you brought us here to this at this time for this purpose, and that is to gain something from worship, to gain something from the knowledge of the Word of God, to grow in our knowledge and in our spirit, for us to become more mature in our faith, for us to take a step in the right direction, for us maybe to get off the couch, so to speak, spiritually, or to get out of the one room we've been spending time in or whatever, but to go on a walk and to walk in the Spirit. Now, Lord, what you've brought me to in this last couple weeks here is how important fellowship is. I hear you and I read your word, and sometimes even when I pray, it seems like you are in heaven and I'm way, way down here, just a little peon, just a nobody on this earth, just a tiny little speck. But yet, this is what you've done by giving us the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you said if you didn't go away, that you could not send the Holy Spirit. So the fact that you went from us gave us this opportunity, and we have the Holy Spirit who lives in us, and we're not just a speck. We are a child of God. We are the children of the Father, and we have the Holy Spirit in us as a witness of such. But Lord, do we commune with you? Do we understand that fellowship is so wonderful that it warms us from the inside out? Do we understand that flowing river that the Holy Spirit is within us is never stagnant? Lord, help us to kneel down and take a drink, and may we find it refreshing and wonderful as we learn more so how to fellowship with the Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So 7 weeks now, we've looked at the person of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the illumination of the Holy Spirit, and now the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The world is missing something, and I know that you'd agree with me. The world is missing peace. There's not much peace in the world, is there? And even when there's peace in one place, you don't have to give it much time before you know it, there's a war breaking out someplace else. Peace is what's missing in many churches today, even, because the peacemaker is ignored or uninvited. Peace is a ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, and it's available to all of God's children, to every group that assembles in church, to every one of us. You can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's available through the Holy Spirit. But not everyone chooses peace over stress. Not everybody chooses peace over drama. Not everybody chooses peace over bitterness. Not everybody chooses to have peace instead of have hatred. Some people choose vengeance. Psalms tells us, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And we're all commanded to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And when you look up that word bond, that's such a great word. It almost is like a spiritual super glue. So even if you get a little spillover on your fingers, it's going to catch something. When you have the Spirit that you want to make peace with people and love people and connect people with God, God says, I'll work with you because that's what I'm all about, and I'll use you, and you'll be attractive. You'll be like a light where the bugs come, and people, if you're a peaceful person, other people like to be around you because this is a stressful world, and we all need to hang out with people that have more peace. People that are even tempered, maybe more so. And sometimes we just need to leave some dramatic situations of relationship and just get where it's peaceful. That's why getting alone is so important, especially this time of year in the mornings and the evenings. Aren't they wonderful? And get out there and enjoy the peace of the cool breeze. And it just does something to help calm you and help you. That is how the Holy Spirit ministers to you as well. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. We know that is. May the message this morning help us all to seek and know the peace that passes all understanding. When France and England were at war, the French whaling vessel had gone off on a long journey, and they came back trying to get into to England, but before they got back, they were running out of water. When they got back, they didn't see any special flags flying. They didn't know what the situation was with the war. And so they were just off the coast there trying to decide what to do. Should we go in and get some fresh water? Should we stay out here? They really believed the war was still intense like it had been. And if they had gone ashore, that they would be arrested as prisoners. So when they got down to the very last drop of water, they decided, we've got to do something about this. At the same time, a ship came towards them, but it was not a ship of threat. And the people said, hey, you guys, what are you doing out here? Come on in. And they said, well, are you our enemy or are you a friend? The war is over. Everybody's your friend. Come on in. And they looked at each other and they said, no, we're not going to. And they didn't believe them. So they spent 2 more days until they got so sick they didn't have a choice. Finally, they came in to shore to find everybody congratulating them, thanking them. There was a different spirit, a wonderful spirit, because the war was over and they nearly died believing it was still wartime. It's a true story. How many Christians today live in darkness because they don't know that Jesus has already won every battle? And the Holy Spirit's been trying to tell you that. And if you'll fellowship with him, you'll figure it out. Jesus Christ made peace on the cross. He satisfied sin's penalty of the law in his body. Jesus has made peace with God for us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There is no fellowship available for anybody unless they're willing to enter into that peace. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So he gave a choice, didn't he? Neither let it, what's that, your heart, be afraid. So if you don't have peace, whose fault is that? If I'm living in fear and anxious and not willing to trust God, I can't blame that on other people. Oh, we try sometimes. But the truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit has come in and with himself, he's brought a whole fruit basket. And love, joy, and peace is already there if you're willing to enter into it. Let it be. It is your choice. Having the unity of the Spirit is necessary, and it will come to you if you agree in the Scripture, if you agree with the Spirit. The Bible says there is one body and one Spirit. Okay, one faith, one Lord, one, hey, that's okay, 50-50, that'll be okay, all right? There's just that one faith and one Lord and one baptism, and you don't have to be confused with places that tell you to come and you'll receive a special anointing, a special baptism, a special this, you'll get healing for this. God did not impart any of us today with the gift of healing. If you get healed, it's straight from heaven. It's straight from God to you. You don't need a priest or a pope or somebody who drives a fancy car or has a fancy suit. God can heal you himself. He's the power. He's the miracle. Amen. There's fellowship available for all who enter into his rest. The Holy Spirit is known to Bible believers as the Comforter. Now we're going to talk more about that next week. The Spirit's ministry in us is one of consolation. Hang on to that word. You'll hear it again in a few minutes. Of help and of working all things out to God's glory. He is our guide. That's how he comforts us and guides us into truth. He does convict. He does convince of sin. But it's not to push us down. It's to lift us up and to bring us to Christ. He has a ministry. It's for our benefit. He instructs and corrects that we might not stumble. Is your parent a bad parent because they tell you don't play in the street? Or they tell you that because they're trying to love you, keep you from getting squished? All right? And all of a sudden, a teenager says, "Mom, this is my girlfriend or this is my boyfriend." And the mom knows a little bit something about maybe the girl or the guy's mom and dad. Maybe knows something a little bit about them that you don't know. And all of a sudden, you think you're 40 years old. You can tell mom and dad when they're just trying to protect you. They're just trying to help you. There's some things that are good for you to have, but some things that are not good until another time. Amen, parents? So the Holy Spirit is there to do these wonderful things for you, but you won't know it unless you spend time with him. You'll miss it. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is there for your benefit. Think about for a moment the things that people choose to break fellowship over. Some refuse to fellowship over silly reasons, and I'm talking here mostly about the church, but someone who thinks that the fellowship hall should be painted pink. And other people say, "Well, I'm not sure that's the case," and maybe they even choose to break fellowship over the paint of the fellowship hall. No, by the way, that hasn't happened here, so don't think I'm talking about us. Or some people want blue carpet or brown carpet, and they're willing to get in a fight, and maybe even you've heard stories about almost fist fights in places where they would fuss to that point over carpet. Some folks choose to do to break fellowship over the silliest thing. Some people, some churches believe that an organ is the only instrument that should be played in church, or some a piano. Some have orchestras, others a band. So we don't like your style, and therefore we won't worship with you. Now, how silly is that? That's pretty silly, isn't it? Yeah, I wonder what style they're going to have in heaven. I can tell you, it'll be God's style, and you're going to love it. It's going to be perfect, and we're all going to worship, and every single person is going to lift their voice, and nobody's going to have their own agenda in heaven. But listen to this statement. Nobody can keep the unity of the Spirit if they don't already have it. So there are those who consistently, constantly, continually fuss and fight and bring dissension upon other people and in the relationships. And we have to be careful about those. They may not have the Spirit of God. So if you're to fellowship with the Spirit, you have to have the Spirit. You cannot keep what you do not have. Only those born again have the Spirit of God, and these that do have fellowship one with another. Anywhere in the world, I can have fellowship with another believer because there is one Spirit, one faith, one Lord. Every drop of water on earth can fellowship with other drops because they all have the same elements. And you've seen a little drop of water be attracted to another drop of water. That's how Christians who have the Holy Spirit are with each other when we fellowship with the Spirit. Paul closed out his Corinthian letter by saying the communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That was his desire. He wanted them to be held together by the same thing. He knew what would make them happy. Paul closed out his Corinthian letter with this word. That word communion and is the word fellowship. In the Greek, it's a very common name most of you know. It's koinonia. Koinonia. And it's got a very interesting understanding to it. Koinonia is a gift jointly contributed. In other words, the Holy Spirit plays his part, and if you want fellowship, you play your part. You see, that's how it works. The koinonia, a contribution. It identifies the ideal state of fellowship and unity that should exist within the church. Paul said, it's my will, it's my desire that you all have the fun and the joy that I have when I come and koinonia with you. I want you to experience what God and the Father, and what the Father God and the Son God Jesus and the Spirit God and I have, so that when you're having your Bible study, you have the same koinonia. I want you to enjoy this fellowship to the point that I do, because when I get done walking with the Spirit, my joy is full. And that's what every pastor wants for himself and for the church. The Holy Spirit is that which joins us. The fellowship of the Spirit is more than just a simple friendliness of God that some experience. It is the unifying aspect that works in our minds and hearts to edify, to build up the body of Christ. In other words, if the church is busy fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, they will have fun fellowshipping with each other. That's how it works. There's a contribution on this side. There's a contribution on this side. What a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit is over here, but I won't enjoy it if I ignore that. Or if I allow something in my flesh, something in my spirit. Well, those people are like this, and I'm like this, so I'm going to go over here, and they can go over there. Can I tell you, God is not in the business of promoting the click club. God doesn't want it in the church. God doesn't want it in your own life. Of course, there are certain people or certain ages or certain things about personalities that we're attracted to, but listen to me. I promise you, you will be the benefactor, you will be the beneficiary of a closer walk with the Holy Spirit. You need this. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, only when we yoke up with, enter into, not until we join in with the Holy Spirit do we experience the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Okay. So in our backyard, along our deck, before we get to the pool, is a bush that my father-in-law, Ted Hogue, gave us called a night jasmine. Anybody know what the night jasmine is? Man, they're blooming right now, and they are beautiful. Something we never saw before, though, we've seen the last few days. Early in the morning, while it's still dark, if you walk out on the deck, you hear this bzzz, bzzz, bzzz. It's not bees. It's not wasps. There are hummingbirds. And these little brown hummingbirds like this have migrated, and a whole pack of them or flock of them or herd, whatever they are coming to visit us in the mornings. I heard them again this morning. And boy, you got to be quick because, and you're trying to get them, and Angie was trying to get them on her phone, and that was something. And you could get close enough to where you can almost feel one go by your face and here and there. But as quick as they are, they don't hardly hit anything, and they don't damage anything, and they go from one little flower to the next so very fast, they don't hardly disturb anything. But in the meantime, they're sticking that long little beak into that flower and sucking out that nectar. At the same time, they're able to take some of that pollen on their little feet and little wings and in their body and on their, and be able to take and do this and go that. They come from 2,500 to 7,500 miles away. So they're drawing from this night jasmine, that which the night jasmine has to offer, and they're distributing it in other places. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you. He wants you to come and dwell and to draw from the water of life and drink it in, so that not only will you have a closeness to Him, so that when you leave that moment and you bump into somebody, you give a little pollen in their direction, a little love over here, a little joy over here, a little peace over here, a little mercy, a little long-suffering, and the fruit of the Spirit, before you know it, is flowing out of you like a river of water, because the Holy Spirit was in you. That, my friends, is koinonia. But let me give you a few things to think about today. Number one, the fellowship of the Spirit comes with consolation. That's what our text said. If there be any consolation. So if you take the word if out, if there is no consolation of Christ, are you going to fellowship with the Holy Spirit? No. If you do it, you will. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Do we get the forgiveness of God to help us to go on as if we don't need any more pardon? If we fail to ask God to forgive us, do we have the same joy and the same fellowship? If I don't forgive, if I don't ask for forgiveness, I'm not going to have the fellowship. And by the way, the fellowship isn't for Jesus. The fellowship's for you. How many of you can commit sins and live for the devil and expect to have joy for God? How many? No? Is that giving you a hard time again? Yeah? I don't know what's wrong with that. It's this side of the church. This is the liberal side of the church. And this is the conservative side. Of course, if I turn around, that's the conservative side, and that's the... I don't know. It's got a mind of its own, you know? I don't know. So fellowship of the Holy Spirit comes with consolation. Well, you know what consolation is. How do you feel when somebody consoles you when you need it? You feel good? You enjoy that? Do we need that? Yes. When you needed to get saved, did Jesus Christ offer you consolation? If there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any bowels of mercy, boy, if there's one thing we needed when we thought we were going to hell was mercy, right? I need you, Lord. I'm going to die and burn in hell according to scriptures, according to that preacher, according to my grandma. I'm headed for hell. Lord, I need you. And at that time, the Lord Jesus showed up and He consoled you with His forgiveness. He consoled you with His mercy. He wrapped His arms around you with truth. And finally, you came to a decision. You needed Him. He wanted you, and you received Him by faith. Wasn't that a wonderful day of consolation? If that's happened to you, you have the ability to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If there be any consolation of Christ, if there be any bowels of mercy, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, you can enjoy all of this and have that fullness of joy. So it comes with consolation. In the world, you'll have tribulation, Jesus says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then He said this, my peace I give unto you. But there are too many Christians out there who are not going back to the Holy Spirit saying, Holy Spirit, I know I got saved 10 years ago, but I'm starting to feel like I'm not doing very good. And the Holy Spirit says, well, you came to the right place, because this is the place for consolation. The Holy Spirit says, walk with me for a while. Let me talk to you for a while. Let's reminisce a little bit. And before you know it, you came to the Holy Spirit, or you came into prayer, or you came into meditation down, and when you leave, all of a sudden, you're back on your feet. You've been consoled. You've been encouraged. You've been loved. If there be any love, if there be any consolation, Jesus Christ has done that for you. Don't forget. Well, who is there to help me remember? It's the Holy Spirit of God. He brings all things to remembrance. And I'll tell you what, I need that consolation every once in a while. I need that. And the more you go back, the more you get. And the more you stick your little nose into that flower of the Holy Spirit, the more nectar that's available. And the truth of the matter is, we don't go back often enough. We don't give him glory enough. And it's available all the time. The Bible says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. I read, you can't imagine how fast the hummingbird's heart beats. It's so fast that you can't even mimic it with the sound of your voice. It's faster than that. Their hearts beat so fast that we cannot, in our human mechanical world, duplicate it. Because the Creator God did it. So that little fast-beating hearted hummingbird needs to get to the nectar pretty quick. Because in mid-flight, if he runs out of juice, he's done. You and I go too long without our filling. You need more than just from Sunday to Sunday. And the Holy Spirit is there to fellowship with you and to give you that reconsolation and to wrap his arms around you again. It's through the consolation of Christ that we receive the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The word consolation comes from two Greek words. Para, which means from beside or proximity of, okay? And kaleo, which means to call. So consolation in the Greek means you've been called to a meeting. You've been called to a meeting. Well, my Bible says, study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word. I know the Bible says I'm supposed to give attendance to reading. I know that the Bible is calling me. Anybody ever feel like you ought to read the Bible more? You ever feel that way? Holy Spirit tell you that every once in a while? Two people of you. Okay, God bless you. God bless both of you. Don't we feel that sometimes? Don't we feel like, hey, I've gone too long without getting back in my Bible? That's the Holy Spirit telling you. Now, why is he calling to you? Why is he convicting you? Why is he telling you? Because he knows that if you come in close, you're going to get love. That's the consolation. The consolation isn't just to feel good. It's to come close so that you can feel good. The Holy Spirit is a still, small voice. Oftentimes, you will not hear him like a trumpet. He comes by way of conviction. He comes by way of a still voice, and he nudges, and he urges, and he calls, and he warms, and he tries to get you close. He doesn't want to stand in front of the world and say, you need to get closer, because then you'll do it out of shame. He wants you to do it out of love. You ever had somebody trying to console you in front of other people so that they would be seen as consoling you? Ever had somebody flatter you in such a way you walked away and you said, wait a minute, were they doing that for me or were they doing that for themselves? The Holy Spirit never does anything for his own benefit. He does everything for the benefit of Christ and for you. It's never for self-ambition. Isn't that wonderful that the Holy Spirit wants this close relationship with you, that he wants to bring you the consolation of Christ? Well, listen, if you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it'll be because of consolation. If we have joined Christ by way of receiving him, if we have the fellowship with the Spirit, if we have fellowship in the Spirit, we can fellowship with one another. That's koinonia. Have you experienced consolation in Christ? If you have been, you have a desire for the Holy Spirit. You may have quenched it. You may have poured water on it. You may have walked away. Your bitterness or your grievance towards God or other people may be overshadowing it. But I guarantee you, if you're a Christian, if you've been saved and washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, who has never, ever left you, never forsaken you, he is still calling you back to get alongside, to come a little closer, to abide with him, to come in and enjoy the fellowship. If we have received consolation of Christ, If we have been loved, in spite of our sinful condition, the Holy Spirit invites us back. If we have received comfort from Christ, the Holy Spirit invites us to have comfort in his ministry. If we have received mercy from Christ, the Holy Spirit invites us to be merciful to others. If we've been given joy, he wants you to show others joy. If we've been given forgiveness, he wants you to do that. In fact, Jesus says, if you come to me in prayer asking me for something and you're not willing to forgive somebody else, go away, get forgiveness, and come back and ask me. If we have received mercy from the Holy Spirit, he wants us to have that mercy towards others. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit invites and invokes closeness. Closeness with God and closeness with others. It's called communion. And he has that for you. The Holy Spirit reminds, convicts, communes, and comforts us in the consolation of Christ. And then number two, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit unites us into like-mindedness. There's one thing that's amazed me in the Christian life. It's how that two people can be polar opposites of each other. I mean, in their philosophy of life, maybe even in their politics. Polar opposites, but yet, in Christ, they're two peas in a pod. I've seen it so many times. It's such a beautiful thing to see. Two people who would normally not fellowship with each other, when they're in church, when they're doing church ministry, you can't hardly tell them apart. That's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. How many Holy Spirits are there, folks? So if you get with him and I get with him, we're okay. So if you're fellowshipping with the same Holy Spirit that I'm fellowshipping with, we're not looking for differences. We're looking for the same things. Amen? That's the koinonia. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit unites like-mindedness. Like-mindedness with the Spirit will work like-mindedness with others who walk in the same path of one accord, of one mind. There's a verse I've heard preached many years. I didn't come to the understanding until a few years ago. How can two walk together unless they be what? Agreed. I used to think about that and use it almost as an opportunity to make separation between somebody who doesn't believe the Bible, somebody who doesn't believe in the doctrine of salvation by grace, somebody now I've come to the conclusion. If you're walking together, you're trying to go someplace, right? If two people are walking together, how can two people walk together? Well, if you're walking together, you're going someplace. So how can two people walk together if they have a disagreement? It doesn't matter if I like your shoes or I don't, or I like my shoes better than your shoes, or I like your pants or your coat or your hair or your glasses or your nose or any. It doesn't matter. If we agree on the destination, we can walk together. Now, we may not walk as shoulder to shoulder as myself and somebody else, or yourself, and you've got those friends that are close to you. And if you had to choose somebody to walk on a journey, you already know who you'd choose, right? You know who you would choose. But wait a minute, how can two people who have disagreements, hello world, are there any two people that are married that don't have disagreements? Oh yes, my husband and I, we just love each other perfectly. Liar, liar, pants on fire. But you stay married. Why? Because you both have love as the destination. If we have the Holy Spirit, is not heaven our destination, folks? I'm going to tell you what. I can walk on a journey a long way with somebody that I don't necessarily like altogether and that I don't have agreement with if we can agree who Jesus is and what heaven's about. Listen, do you have to always talk about your disagreements, or can you talk about the things you do agree on? And therein is the secret. We have one Holy Spirit, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Bible. But Pastor, I don't always see it the way you do. Well, wonderful. Thank you for being honest. If you stood up here for 40 minutes, you might say something after 10 years that I didn't agree with. Maybe. But hopefully the love that I have for you and the love you have for me can put aside a disagreement, because we all serve the same Jesus. And we're all going to the same heaven, and the Lord has given us a family here that we can love. Like-mindedness. Chapter 1, verse 27, Paul had written to these Christians about living the Christian life in harmony. What a beautiful word. In harmony. Standing fast in one spirit, of one mind and one faith because of the Spirit. Well, what does the Spirit do? The Spirit overlooks the discord and brings us back in harmony. In other words, when I hit a minor chord, the Holy Spirit says, raise it up a notch. Lower it down a notch. In other words, he keeps me in tune. The Holy Spirit do that to you? Anybody feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit at times? Does he tell you to go right and left, up and down, over this way, over that way? If you're insensitive, you're going to be in tune. And if other people are doing it, we're going to be like-minded and in harmony. When we concentrate more on the differences than we do the likenesses, then we have strife, then we have division, then we have dissension. Pride is the mother of dissension. Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence because he wanted to be first. Me first, me first. The truth of the matter is, Diotrephes was kidnapped on island. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's like a wave. He was kidnapped by his own selfishness, and he wanted to be first. That's the destructive human spirit that is never in unity with the Holy Spirit, and that kind of person will have trouble wherever they go. Self-centeredness murders like-mindedness. In verse 3, Paul points out a probable weakness in the Philippian church. Here's what it is right there. In verse number 3 of chapter 2, he says, For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have... No, that's chapter 3, verse... Here, let me get the right one. Chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Is it possible that the Philippian church, in all the good aspects that they had, thought to themselves a little higher than they should have? Looking for the glory. Hey, we're serving God better than the church down the street. We're doing more for God over here on this corner than those folks are. Before you know it, they're patting themselves on the back. And now they're building up hatred towards other people. That's not the will of God, and that'll never breed like-mindedness. There's no unity where the truth is trampled on. There can be no unity where Christ is made little or where the Bible is merely a good book. And I understand there are groups of folks who call themselves Christians that we cannot fellowship together when it comes to the Word of God. But let me say something to you, dear folks. Who did Jesus fellowship with more? The religious people or the non-religious people? In that was he criticized the most also. So be careful about putting too much division between you, too much separation between you and somebody else who thinks different religiously, and just go out there and be Jesus and have fun and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. My pastor used to say, everyone knows something that I do not know. Therefore, everyone can be my friend and my teacher. I think that would help us. So the Holy Spirit gives us the consolation of Christ, and that's how we fellowship. The Holy Spirit unites us like-minded with Christ. That's how we fellowship. And number 3, the Holy Spirit is entered into. You cannot fellowship with the Holy Spirit by simply saying, well, I'm going to stay over here, mind my own business, do my own thing, and then expect for the Holy Spirit to use me greatly. I thought about this week. If I see somebody in a dark place and I say, hey, man, it's dark down there. Come up here where it's beautiful, where the sun is warm and shining. Step into the light. And this person says, no, I'm trying to make my own light down here. I'm trying to work myself into a warm feeling. That person will never understand the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he refuses to leave where he's at and step into the light. It's right there. Christian, it's right there for you. You have to be willing to enter into it. Listen, here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make peace with people. Stop trying to make peace with people. Can you make anybody do anything? It's a great thing in the theology class when they tell you, don't try to change people. It's not your job. It's God's job. But it's hard for a pastor because we want to help people do better. We want to help lift them up, and then we want to help them to know how to walk. We want to get involved, and we want to get in this discipleship thing. That's what pastors do. That's what ministers do. That's what counselors do. But wait a minute. I cannot make anybody else have peace. If I have the peace, then I can walk in that peace. And when other people who don't have it see that even through the difficult waters, he's distributing peace. I don't know where he gets that from. Those people who want it will gravitate towards it. Stop trying to make peace. Boy, that you ever tried to do that in a relationship? Well, I'm going to make peace with that person. Probably if we took a vote here, you'd say, well, I didn't do so good. Yeah, I've never done so good either. Because they have to be ready. It's something they have to do. I have to live in peace. And as I do, whether they do or not, I'm going to be peaceful. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is entered into. Peace is a condition into which we enter. So instead of trying to make it or work it, we need to cease trying and just enter into it. Jesus has already made peace. In Ephesians 2, the Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who at other times were afar off are made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, breaking down the middle wall of separation between us, abolishing in his own flesh the enmity. So, you're over here. Jesus is over here. And there's a wall in between us. The Bible says when Jesus went to the cross, that wall was torn out. But I'm still over here, and he's over here. Jesus, I sure wish you'd accept me. Jesus, I sure wish you'd forgive me. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are burning and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, but I just wish you'd do that, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I wish you'd guide me. The Holy Spirit says, I'm trying to. Christ has already torn it down. He's given you consolation. He's given you the understanding. What are you doing over there? Enter in to that beautiful rest. You see, that's what we need to do. Is there something for us to do? Simply, Jesus said, if you draw nigh to me, I will. So he's already done the breaking down of the walls, the barriers. The Holy Spirit's already proved to us that we have had at times a peace, and we have had at times that conviction. Yes, we squench it and squash it and quench it. Yes, we pour water on it, but he says, I'll never leave thee. And you hear a message, or you hear a song, or a friend says something true to you, and all of a sudden it comes back, and you feel the Holy Spirit. What do I do about it, Pastor? Enter into it. How do you regain fellowship with somebody? Start fellowshipping with them. Yeah. Listen, I don't know if there's anybody in here now, but we have some fellowship dinners back here, and I don't think there's anybody here now that have, but we have some people who come, and they don't enter into it. And for whatever reason, it may be diet. And if that's the case, I understand, because all the food back here is so good, it's so good, it'll help you grow. And if you don't want to grow, you probably better not enter in too much. It's not so low-cal. It's not so much like that. But wait a minute. We'll never have the fellowship until we enter into it. And that's the invitation that God gives us all. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. Do you remember the loneliness you had before Christ? Do you remember that? Have you experienced the loneliness even after Christ? The Holy Spirit wants to bring you out of that. He wants to fellowship with you, remind you of the consolation that Christ offered. Paul's letter to the Philippians was written from prison, by the way. He was thankful for their love and support for the ministry. As a spiritual father, he prayed for them and desired that their joy would be full. He commends them. And then in verse 17, here's what he said. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit. He's in prison. What is he going to do? Send him a fruit basket? What's that? No. He desires that they reach down inside and grab the fruit of the Holy Spirit and enjoy it and consume it to where they become full. Because in doing that, they'll have all the fellowship that he cannot give them because he's in prison. And they cannot give him much fellowship because he's in prison. But he's not there by himself. Many years ago, there's a song that came out, and I love it, and the Holy Spirit's been using it in my life a lot. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there faithfully. He has been there faithfully. Where have I been? Where have you been? Where have we been? He's there, waiting, encouraging. Holy Spirit, breathe on me, my stubborn will subdue. Teach me in words of living flame that Christ would have me do. Holy Spirit, breathe on me till I am all thine own, until my will is lost in thine to live for thee alone. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Yeah, but I got a lunch date, Pastor. Yeah, but I got things to do, people to go see, and the Holy Spirit says, what about me? I want to fellowship with you. I can offer you something the world can't offer. Is that what you want today? I promise you, he's not a respecter of persons. Hallelujah for that, right? Would you bow your heads, please? Now, Heavenly Father, if we have received consolation from Christ, and we know that all of us who are saved have received it in beautiful, wonderful, saving ways, then there's no reason why we wouldn't fellowship with the Spirit, unless we're just trying to do our own thing. Lord, to do that would be sinful. I pray that you forgive us, that we'd put ourselves above you or ourselves above others, and help us today to come to the conclusion right here and right now. This is greater than anybody else's.